Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve looks at today's events already foretold by God's Word. The Bible stands alone. No other book in history has such specific and detailed descriptions of the world we live in right now. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Suleiman the Magnificent, the Ottomans, they will rule over the region until the British Mandate of 1917, when the Ottomans joined the wrong side of World War I, and the whole region is captured by General Allenby of Britain. And they're the ones who reapportion into the current designations of Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, Syria. They're the ones that did that. And in 1917 and 1920s, the British Mandate originally promised the Jews Israel. But they renege on that promise. And by doing so, they doom 6 million Jews to the gas chambers of World War II. Then, of course, 1948, the British Mandate is up. The United Nations gives Israel their land by UN decree. And it fulfills Ezekiel 4, Ezekiel 36, and Isaiah 66. In one day, God will make Israel be a nation one more time. Next big date, 1967, the Six Days War. Israel, of course, they get Jerusalem back from the Jordanians. For the first time in 19 centuries, free and sovereign Jews are praying at the Western Wall, or the Wailing Wall. Why? Because since 1099, the tradition of the Jewish temple being on the Upper Temple Mount was the understanding. And that Western Wall, the little stones of Suleiman on top, and the large Herodian stones underneath, that's all that remains of the temple complex, or so they thought. Wait a minute and time out. Didn't Jesus say not one stone would be left upon another? And when I visited Israel in 1983, I heard some of the Jewish people saying, you know, your Messiah, Jesus, is not our Messiah. He was a false prophet. What do you mean he was a false prophet? They pointed to the Western Wall. Your prophet said, not one stone would be left upon another. Ha! Look! Well, let me ask you, is Jesus a false prophet? If he were accurate, would there be one stone left upon another? All right, here we go. 1969, an American by the name of Dr. Ernest Martin leads more than 400 college students from Ambassador College in Pasadena over to an excavation of the Western Wall in the city of David. He's there for the next 5 years. He also works with Professor Benjamin Mazar of Hebrew University, who is heading up the dig. Over the next 5 years, they begin to make tremendous discoveries near the city of David. There is the city of David to the south, and the Temple Mount proper to the north. Then Dr. Ernest Martin says, you know what? Stuff's not lining up here. Poring over Josephus, Greek, Roman, and Jewish historians, Dead Sea Scrolls, and Scripture, Martin realized that Mount Zion was never intended for Mount Moriah or the Temple Mount. Mount Zion in the Scriptures is always referring to the city of David to the south. Martin began forming a significant and startling theory that both the Solomon's Temple and Herod's Temple were not on the Temple Mount to the north. Another thing that has stumped archaeologists for many years. If the Antonia Fortress was able to house 6,000 guys plus 4,000 support people, why is there no archaeological evidence that it existed? There's only the 36-acre trapezoid, or the almost rectangle, where the Temple Mount is. And then Dr. Martin said, ding! The Temple Mount and those walls That's the Antonia Fortress. And that the temple resided exactly where the Bible says, in Zion, the city of David. The Bible talks about waters gushing out from underneath or nearby the temple. There is no water on the Temple Mount proper. There is none. There's only one spring in the area, and it's the bottom of the city of David, called the Gihon Springs. So he measured the 36 acres and the shape of the Temple Mount in comparison to other Roman forts supporting Roman legions. And then he saw where the location of the Gihon Springs were, and he deduced that the temple had to be nearby. Remember, the priests had to use running water or living water. Herod builds a couple of aqueducts from Bethlehem, a little bit to the south, to the Temple Mount to facilitate the Romans. But would that be something the Jews would be interested in ceremonially? I don't think so. The Temple Mount area and the city of David really is the bloodiest real estate on the surface of the earth. If you know anything about the terrible crusades and all the awfulness that went on, the Christians would come in, and I use the word Christians in quotations, they came in and slaughtered the Islamics and the Jews. And then when the Islamics would get the upper hand, then they slaughtered all the Christians, and everybody was slaughtering everybody. Millions and millions and millions have died in this one little 36-acre region. Now here's our next slide. Watch this. This is the understanding of Dr. Martin. He wrote a book in the early 2000s, and then about 2 years ago, Bob Cornuk, reading that book, went over to Israel and did some more of his understanding. Chuck Missler calls Bob Cornuk the Christian Indiana Jones. He's a former homicide investigator for Costa Mesa. He retires and takes those skills and looks through the scriptures and looks at Dr. Martin's book, and he says, I think you got a point. And he meets in Israel about 3 years ago a guy who's in charge of the Hebrew University dig at the city of David. He was the one who about 15 years ago discovered the Pool of Siloam. And so he's been digging in the region ever since. Eli says to Bob Cornuk, come with me, I want to show you some stuff. That the Antonia Fortress is the 36-acre area that the walls, the big Herodian stones, still outline. It is the 36 acres above that we know as the Temple Mount. He thinks that's the Antonia Fortress. Could that region support 6,000 guys, a city-like existence with blacksmiths and all the rest? And that's how Josephus described where the 10th Legion resided. And he says that the temple itself was to the south on the city of David. And that there was a walkway that went below across the Kidron Valley. Go ahead. That dual colonnade you see to the other side there, that was described by Josephus. There was a 600-foot dual colonnade. Why? Because if there was ever any trouble on the Temple Mount, the Romans could get there in a hurry. Next circle, that is the offal or the stairs that also served from the Fortress Antonia to the temple. Those stairs, by the way, have been excavated. They're already there and currently are exposed. But here's the big one. Last little circle. There is where the spring of Gihon comes out of. Notice it's right below the city of what would be the temple. There was no and is no running water on the Temple Mount proper. And why is that important? Get your Bible out. Where was Solomon anointed as king? At the spring of Gihon. And all through the Old Testament especially, this spring of living water is mentioned in conjunction with the old city. Go ahead to my next slide. The Dome of the Rock, you see, is that or could have been the Antonia Fortress. And then the steps and the colonnades, then you see to the left, that could be the place of the temple. And the most important, bottom circle, bottom left hand, the spring of Gihon. Next slide. Here is what it looks like today in a photograph. Now you'll notice that the Dome of the Rock is quite high compared to the city of David. And then the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and then the Ophel, which is that little slanted area. And then the city of David all the way to the left. Next slide. Remember how the book of Micah prophesied that after the destruction of Jerusalem, that the temple would be a place where there would be farms and pastures. This is a photograph from 1930-something. Notice that the 36th area of the Temple Mount and the Dome of the Rock is still there. Notice that the city of David is what? Made up of pastures and farm. That circle, according to Bob Carnuke and Dr. Martin, is where the temple stood, and that's where the spring of Gihon is. Next slide. Here is another picture taken in the early 30s, and you'll notice there, that's the city of David portion. Again, farms and pastures, what have you. There is where the city was and the temple could have been. And they had done excavations in the area, and they have found some pretty amazing stuff that led them to assume that that was the palace of King David. What if it's not the palace? What if it were of the temple? Next slide. There's the artist's rendition of where David's palace was. Now I want you to notice that there is a series of severe steps moving to the east. Next slide. This is the city of David in its current excavation. There's a doorway going in underneath that, what would be that sort of severe stepped area. Let's go inside. Go ahead. And that's what it looks like. Some of those stones predate David's day and are Jebusite stones because pottery and artifacts of the Jebusites were found there. Next one. This is very provocative. That is an oil squeeze or an oil press. The priests on the Temple Mount needed lots of what? Oil. And they found this right underneath what is today the visitor center, the city of David. Next. And they found a series of these. This is a trough. What is a trough doing there? If there were troughs, as Josephus described, under the brazen altar where the blood of the animals, where it was siphoned off to, here are some troughs found under the visitor center, what would be the city of David. Next slide. And these look like writing, but they're not. They're actually places that you put planks and boards in. They have found a series of these. These are for holding animals, small and large, in large quantities. Does that ring a bell? Next slide. There's a fellow squeezing olives and making olive oil. Go ahead. There is the center section where the blood is pouring out through the troughs. And next, that's the region where there would be a series of small and large pens to keep many animals. For what reason? Next, here's Bob Cornuke himself, the Christian Indiana Jones, and he is touching Jebusite stones. Next slide. Here's an older picture. You'll see the Dome of the Rock at the top, and then at the bottom, that's the Gihon Springs. This is what Hezekiah's tunnel is. It begins with the Gihon Springs to the middle, upper right of the slide, and winds its way to the south with a pool of Siloam that was discovered recently. That's the wonderful story that Isaiah tells us of and Chronicles tells us of. When the Assyrians are about ready to go and take over Jerusalem, Hezekiah is freaking out, and Isaiah says, don't freak out, God's going to take care of the whole thing. And he does. That's the time when the angel of the Lord goes to all the Assyrians, and King James, the next day, 185,000 of them woke up dead. Remember that one? They lost interest in the battle and went home, as you might imagine. But before that, Hezekiah commissions, their only water supply was the Gihon Springs. And it opened up in the valley of Kidron, just inside or perhaps outside of the temple. He hid the spring of Gihon, and he had them start the spring of Gihon to the north and another crew from the south, and they begin digging towards one another, and miracle of miracle, they met in the middle. Hezekiah's tunnel still flows today, and if you want to go see it, next slide. And look at this kid. What are you doing? He's walking in the Hezekiah's tunnel. Pretty cool. Next slide. This is the ruins where a legion, Roman legion, once stayed in North Africa. Notice it's a rectangle, and it's about 36 acres in circumference. Next slide. Here's another one, an artist's rendition. Measurements roughly the same. Notice the many communal buildings and barracks and what have you. Next slide. Here's one that's a dig that is drawn out for us. This is what remains of what once was a Roman legion place. You'll see barracks and stables and shops. Next. Here's the remains of one in Europe. Guess what? It's about 36 acres. It's rectangular. Next slide. And there again is what is termed the Temple Mount. Why am I going here? Here's why I'm going here. Matthew 24, verse 2, not one stone shall be left upon another. 10,000 stones are still standing in and around the temple area, especially the Western or Wailing Wall. Titus A.D. destroyed the entire temple. 2 Samuel 5, 7, as I said, nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the city of David. 2 Samuel 24, David is instructed by the angel of the Lord to purchase Ornan's threshing floor in the city of David. 2 Chronicles 3, 1, Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David, at the place that David had prepared on the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. Micah 3:2, therefore, because you, Zion, city of David, shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the temple, Zion, like bare hills of a forest. Remember the 1930 pictures I showed you? Mount Zion is the city of David. For the Lord has chosen Zion, the city of David. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever, where I dwell, for I have desired it. Eusebius, he said, the hill called Zion in Jerusalem, the building there in 70 AD, that is to say the temple, the Holy of Holies, dedicated to the glory of God, has been utterly removed and shaken down. And the hill called Zion, city of David, is no more. Acadius, he's a historian from the Greek city of Abdera, 300 BC, says the temple was nearly at the center of the city of David. The pilgrim of Bordeaux, we don't know who he is, but we have his letter. He visited the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. He looked east and saw, quote, the Holy Sepulchre is north and west of the current Temple Mount area. When he got there, he said, here's what I saw when I looked outside of my hotel window. He said, I looked east and saw, quote, the long wall of the Roman fortress, and did not mention at all the temple, 333 AD, because it was gone. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre is still there today. Look east out the window. What do you see? The Temple Mount. Pilgrim of Bordeaux is saying that those same walls were the Antonia Fortress, not the temple. He also said that the huge stone protruding from the middle is where Pontius Pilate pronounced Jesus guilty and sentenced him to crucifixion. Over that stone is the Caliph Abdul Malik, is where he built the Dome of the Rock. Aristeus of Mamoria, an Alexandrian Jewish historian, 250 BC, said, there is an inexhaustible reservoir of water, as would be expected, an abundant spring gushing up naturally within the temple. Would not be so if it were on the top of Mount Moriah. Tacitus, he was alive during the time of Jesus and a Roman senator and historian, he said, the Jewish temple had a natural spring of water that welled up from its interior. Zev Vilni is a fairly recent Jewish historian. He died in 1988 in Israel. He quoted an older Hebrew writing which said, quote, a great stream of water flows forth from the holy temple. Its name is Gihon. And also the new temple after the millennial reign of Christ, Ezekiel 47, describes it. Listen, then he, this angel, brought me back to the door of the temple. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar, which is where the Gihon springs are on the bottom left-hand side of the slide. And one last little reference. Acts 21, verse 30, when Paul gets in trouble in the Temple Mount area, and they descend upon him and are beating him to a pulp, and the Roman soldiers, the Bible says, had to come down to get him. They pull him from the angry mob, and as he is ascending the stairs, he says, "Can I address the crowd?" And he says so, and he gives a great message. If the temple was on the upper Mount Moriah, is there any place to go up from there? Once again, says Bob Cornuk, the Bible is its own best interpreter. Why are you taking us through this, Steve? I need a Gatorade now because you've exhausted my medulla oblongata. We're talking about the tribulation temple. There has to be a temple in place. You know that if the Jews tried to knock down the Dome of the Rock, is that really and likely a foreseeable event? Probably not. And many are people saying that the Antichrist, when he gets here, he is going to satisfy the Jews and he's going to satisfy the Islamics and build the temple for the Jews. That third temple is the one that he is going to go into the Holy of Holies and proclaim to be God. Hasn't been built yet. Right now there is tremendous political current against the Temple Mount placement. What if the city of David can be proved categorically to be the place where the two temples stood? There is no argument who owns the city of David. The Jews do. And if the Jews ever embraced it, they could build the third temple tomorrow. That's why I wanted to bring this study to your attention. So has God deliberately allowed this discovery to be out of reach until the last 20 years, really? For such a time as this? Will something stunning be discovered under the city of David in the dig to open their eyes? Did you know that the Temple Institute has already identified who the priests are through mitochondria DNA by the swabs of the cheeks, starting with people by the last name of Cohen? Cohen is the name, Hebrew name for priest. And because of mitochondria DNA mapping, they know who the direct descendants of Aaron are. They've already reproduced and consecrated artifacts, clothing, instruments for the temple. There's the golden lampstand already completed. Already they have fashioned and consecrated the golden lampstand, the table of showbread, the golden altar, the laver, and the brazen altar. It's all done. They await one more thing for their government to say you can build. And they will have a functioning, Levitically consecrated, functioning temple, Levitical temple, working within days. Thank you, Lord God, that now history, as all history does, is pointing once again that your Bible is right on the money, exactly as you said. There is a strong and compelling case that the temple of Solomon and Herod was in the city of David, Mount Zion, just like the Bible has said. And the traditions of men, Jews, Islamics, and Christians, are currently fogging the issue. And will the Antichrist come to the fore and somehow clear up the entire issue? And through his huge intellect and economic and political power, is he the one that's going to say, just build it on the city of David, where your Bible says? And is that the third temple, the temple of the Antichrist? And if so, oh my, oh my, oh my. May we be ready and faithful in Jesus' name. And all the students of Scripture said, amen.
You've been listening to a recent prophetic update by Pastor Steve. What a comfort to know that no matter what the headlines are saying, everything is proceeding just as God has foretold. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.